We pray. Father God, we thank you for your word is bread, is food for our spirits. It brings nourishment. It brings edification. It brings light. So as we feast on your word this morning, let it be to us strength. Let it be to us speed. Let it be to us transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. So all year long, we've been looking at what we call the Catalyst series. The Catalyst series. And the Catalyst series is just the eight core values that shape us as a church. And from January, we've been looking at these values one after the other. We have two more to look at. And this month, we'll be looking at what it means to serve. Sorry, to be powered to serve. We're looking at what it means to be powered to serve. And today, we're looking at what it means to serve the Lord. So you're getting it, the clues and everything coming together. Why we sang the song and why we read the Bible verses. So, next slide, please. From Ruthie's reading to us this morning, we heard that some Greeks went to see Jesus. Now, when you see the word Greek in the New Testament, more often than not, it's not talking about people from Greece. It's talking about people who are not Jewish. It was a generic name to describe people who were not Jewish. Another name they used was Gentiles. So you either see Gentiles, depending on the translation, or Greeks. So these people were foreigners. They were not Jewish people. They were not native born. They were foreigners. And they had gone up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. But prior to that, prior to their arrival in Jerusalem, Jesus had done a miracle. The miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. Do we know that story? Lazarus was a very, very good friend of Jesus. He fell ill and then died. And Jesus went 4 days after he was buried. Now, the Jewish belief was that 3 days after somebody dies, you can still do something to bring their spirits back. But after 3 days, case closed. Jesus went 4 days after. And he raised his friend back to life. But also, Mary, who was Lazarus' sister, heard that Jesus was around. She came and brought the most expensive perfume in an alabaster box, in an alabaster jar. She poured the contents on his feet and used her hair to wipe his feet. And some people didn't like that at all. They thought it was a waste of money because the perfume cost a year's wages. So all these things had happened. And then Jesus had come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Do we know the story? On Palm Sunday, Jesus had come riding on the donkey. So just a couple of days before the Passover feast, lots of things had been happening. So if you look at the screen, can you tell me which one of them is Jesus riding on the donkey? Can we all see the screen? Which one is the one Jesus riding on the donkey? The left-hand side. Which one is Lazarus being raised from the dead? The second one, the one in the middle. Which one is Mary, who was Lazarus' sister? Which one is she wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, right hand side? So we're going to do this. Now, these Greeks, these foreigners, had come to see Jesus. They told Philip and Andrew, we want to see Jesus. Now, three scenarios will probably be the reason why they want to see Jesus. Now, I want us to vote. Which one of these is really the reason why they want to see Jesus? So if you think it's Jesus riding on a donkey, vote now. Anybody? Do you think it's Jesus riding on a donkey? Well, there's a vote at the back. We have one vote. Going, going, gone. So one vote for picture A. Picture B, is it Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? Is that the reason why they have come? Do you want to vote? So one, two, three, four, five, six. Any more votes? Six votes. Going, going, gone. Oh, seven votes. So seven votes. Is it because Mary washed Jesus' feet with her hair and rumors went round? Is that the reason why they've come to see Jesus? Any votes? Joshua. One vote. Dawn, two votes. Three votes. Four votes. Ooh. Five votes. Six votes. Ooh. Six votes. So we have 1, 7, 6. Let's see what the results will be. If you have a Bible there, you can read along with me. If you don't, I'll read out to you. So our second reading was from John chapter 12. John chapter 12, are you all there? Page 1079. Page 1079. We want to find out why these people had come to see Jesus. Verse 17 says, "Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he performed this sign, went out to meet him." So what do you think the answer is? Lazarus. They had heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And so who voted for Lazarus? Well, you won. Well done. I wish elections could be that simple. But so that's what happened. They had heard. The word was around town that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. So they went to see Jesus. Next slide, please. But an awkward thing happened. The moment Jesus knew they were there, he didn't even say, "Oh, hello, would you like a cup of tea? Would you like to take a seat?" Jesus just said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And I'm sure they thought, "Oh." He said, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abides alone. But when it dies, it produces many, many more seeds. Anyone who loves his life will lose it." I'm sure they think, "Wow, we've come on a wrong day. What's going on here?" He says, "And anyone who hates their life will save it. Whosoever will serve me must follow me." It says, "And the servant must be where I am." And then it says, "My Father will honor the one who serves me." And if I were there with these Greek guys, with these foreigners, I'm sure I'll be thinking, "I think we've come on the wrong day. Why did Jesus just blurt out?" Any ideas why? Why was Jesus' response quite abrupt? Does anybody know why? You see, because they had heard of the miracle. And could it be that they wanted something for themselves as well? They had heard, if he can raise somebody from the dead, I wonder what else he can do. So could it be that Jesus discerned their hearts? And Jesus said to them, he said this, "I'm going to give my life for everyone. I am like that kernel of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. I'm going to give my life for everyone. And whoever wants to follow me must give their entire life to me. You know, when you go to a restaurant, who do you have that comes straight away? You've been to a lot of restaurants. A waiter comes and says, "How may I serve you today?" And there's, what do? We're looking through the menu, we're talking, "What would you like? What would you like?" And the waiter's like, waiting, like, "Can I take your orders?" And you're like, "Have you tried the French? Blah, 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 blah." Or the, and we take our time. And the waiter has to forget all about himself or herself. Because they are there to serve. So no matter how they feel, they have to endure the time you're taking to order. And then when you order, they go to business. Could it be Jesus is saying that we're like waiters when he comes to the table and we're like, "Lord, what would you like to have?" And even if he doesn't say anything, we're still waiting to say, "I'm ready to take your order." We have to give our entire being to serving him, just as he has given his entire life for us. That's what Jesus meant when he said, anybody who loves their life will lose it. He's not saying you will just die carelessly. He's saying, if you're so concerned about how you feel and how, then you can't really serve people. Because people will get on your nerves. People will rub you up the wrong way. So if you are not dead, when people speak to you in a way you don't like, you'll react. So Jesus is like, get to the place where nothing touches you. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, some people will say ugly things to you. Some people will treat you in a really bad way. Some people will make fun of you and say, "Oh, so you're into that Jesus thing." So you need to be detached. You need to not love your life to the point where when somebody touches a nerve, you are exploding. So that's what Jesus was saying. But then remember in our first reading, Joshua was saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In other words, we're going to forsake everything else. We're going to detach ourselves from everything else, and our focus will be God. So the way I think is important because I'm choosing to think about God. I'm choosing to speak about God. I'm choosing to submit my emotions to God. Hello. You want the balloons? Is that what you're asking? I'm detached from it. Okay. I'm not detached from that one. I like that color. Are you detached from it? She said, yes. She's a servant of Jesus. So that's what it means to serve Jesus. How many are on social media here? Oh, that's how you spend your time, huh? Just joking. On social media, you follow people, don't you? Why do you follow people on social media? Anybody? Sorry? To be nosy. To be nosy, okay. Why do you follow, yeah? Sorry? Friends. So you follow people because you're friends with them. You follow because you're nosy. Any other reason why you follow people on social media? You like what they are doing, yes. Is that what you wanted to say? To admire them. So you're not necessarily following them physically, but because whenever they do something, you get a notification. Bing! Oh, I wonder what is new here. And you follow them. You follow them closely. You want to know what's going on. That's how we should follow Jesus. Because Jesus said, serving me is following me. So you're like, what's the notification today, Lord? You want to follow him. How do you follow him? This is God's social media. Oh, is that going somewhere? This is God's social media. So we follow him. Then last slide, please. Now, I want to ask a question. Can you see the picture? Can everybody see the picture? In that picture, we have three people. Jesus is the one seated. There's the one on her knees, Mary. Oh, Sonia knows that story. And there's the one with bread in her hands, Martha. Which one of these sisters is actually serving the Lord? From what you can see. If you think it's Mary, who thinks Mary is serving the Lord in this picture? She's the one kneeling down. Do you think she's the one serving the Lord? Okay. Who thinks Martha is the one serving the Lord? The one with the bread? Okay. Somebody said, is it both? Is it both? Yeah? Good. Now, do you know that both of them were sisters of Lazarus? And Jesus had gone to visit them. One was serving, trying to make a meal, trying to receive Jesus by her actions, by her hospitality. And the other one was just kneeling there. So we've said both. Why did we say both? Who said both? Yes, Lisa, why both? Why do you think it's both? In different ways. In different ways. Although Jesus said that Mary had chosen the better part. Not because Martha wasn't serving, but because Martha was now... Do you know why Jesus said Mary chose the better part? Martha, even though she was serving, she was like that waiter, like, come on. She was being touched, even though she was serving. So she was not serving with a free heart. She was not serving as one dead. She was very much alive. My sister is not helping me here. Whereas Mary sat and served the Lord by listening, by following with her heart and listening. So if Martha had been enjoying what she was doing, it probably would have been equal with what Mary was doing. But because she got to the point where she could no longer take Mary just sitting down there, and her service became tainted with her, she became distracted in her service. So we are called to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord requires the entirety of our lives. You can't serve God half-heartedly. If you're saying, as for me and my house, we will serve you, then it must be the entirety of your being. But in your service, know that things will come to distract you. Jesus said, detach from it. Be dead to it. And then you can truly serve from the heart.